Open loops. Open loops. Open loops. Open loops. Open loops. You must listen to the open loops, a theme park for absurd beliefs and systems of integration between the mind and the creative spirit. Open loops.
Today on Open Loops, we have psychic shaman Aaron Fowler, a man that I have had the pleasure of being on the same stage with before. Definitely have enjoyed your presentations at some of the conferences that we've done with Watchers Talk and Full Spectrum Universe. I mean, it's always an educational time. Also, sometimes you even play music, which is great. I mean, you always bring something to it. And usually what's interesting is, I don't know if they, before I get into that, Aaron, thank you so much for coming on the show. I appreciate it.
Oh, thank you for having me. I appreciate you. Much for your attitude.
Absolutely, man. Absolutely. I was curious, you know, they do tend to bill you early on with these conferences, or at least Omar does. I mean, you're a set the mood guy. You know, I know you're a musician as well. I mean, have you... what do you think that is? Do you feel that you your work as a shaman is partly to facilitate learning and growing consciousness kind of atmospheres? I mean, it's interesting. I wonder why it is that you always go so early.
Kind of the master of ceremonies, or just setting off the show. So saying a prayer, or, you know, whatever I'm doing. I think I closed one, or I went on the last day. It was kind of a last minute. He called. He just said, "Hey, man, you want to go live?" Day in advance, and I went live, and we did like a life after death kind of trans meditation. So,
oh yeah, I love that stuff.
People were tripping out on that one because they didn't know where they were going until the end.
No worries.
Everything they were describing and what they were seeing in the chat, it made sense to them at the end.
Wow, that is interesting. Yeah, you know what? This is why I was excited to talk with you, because I remember, so I did a presentation last year on trance, specifically talking about hypnosis and specifically trance phenomenon and how you can trance yourself to expand your consciousness. And at the end of that, you were like, whoa, man, that was...
Yeah, I loved it.
I appreciate that. I was very grateful for your words about that. But you were like, this is, you know, these are different ways of the way you're saying it makes sense to the type of stuff that I do, even some of the language that you use, it's different. I'm very curious about this because I feel it's such a big part of being a shaman is the trance piece. I mean, Can you speak a little bit about that, why that is, how that even came to be? I mean, what is the trance connection to shamanism?
I would just say, right, what came to mind is soothsayer, right? You've heard that term, soothsayer?
Yeah.
You're soothing them, but you're getting to this place, your clients or the people you're working with, you're getting them in this state that they can be open to something new. A lot of the times they don't even see it. A lot of the times they do and they ignore it, like their own intuition. So I'm trying to get them to a place that they can actually be a lot more open to what's going on, a lot more connected to the whole, you know, experience of a session. So that's basically what I do. I mean, it's kind of getting them the same you do. You do similar. You just, you have different techniques. We just have a different flavor, but it's the same thing. It's the same, same concepts.
Yeah. I wonder what it is about. I mean, look, and I know I think I even brought this up in my presentation. I mean, there's the way people use the term altered state is interesting because it means, well, altered from what? I mean, I also know that it's on the flip side of it. And I've even heard this from people in the spiritual community. They would argue that the trance is happening in waking life and that where you're bringing people is more the quote unquote real place. I mean, right. I don't, I'm curious. Are there certain qualities about that open place? Is it connected, do you think, to the higher plane of existence beyond regular waking reality? I mean, how would you explain that?
I would say like consciousness in the layers or levels, right? The higher we go, or the more we evolve into these higher levels, the more information we take in, or the more information we're open to, the more we see. It's like you hear a lot of talk about, you know, going to the fifth dimension, right? As you go, like we're actually fourth dimensional, we can see one level, or we perceive on the third dimension. As we move up into the fifth dimension, which there is a lot of truth to that, we gain a higher consciousness, which means we see a lot more, or we're more alert and more clear on the things going on around us that were invisible to us before. If that makes any sense.
Yeah.
So the levels are like similar to what you're doing. You're getting people into their subconscious, right? Their subconscious mind. And there's a subconscious, there's a superconscious, there's a lower conscious. We kind of go through all of them every day, and some of us are more aware of it than others, and that's kind of how I see it.
Yeah, that is so for you then, does that mean you I mean, I'm always curious about the different levels people are connected to this, but are you always seeing things that can't be seen? Are there spirits hanging around your house?
I don't pay much attention to the spirits hanging around my house. I mean, I get a lot of orbs.
Yeah.
When I'm doing things that people notice, and I'm like, yeah, I'm used to them. I've got, there was a time when I was doing that, and there are, you know, certain times when I do, you know, ghost hunting. I don't really ghost hunt, but just when I can connect with that side of things. But it's pretty much everything. It's just, even the world that we live in, think about it this way, because of the internet and because of a lot of people talking to each other and because of that collective connection, that oneness that we all have, we're realizing things that we maybe felt, but we never saw. And now we're seeing it all come out in the world. The craziness, the chaos, that's always been there, but now we notice it. So it's like shedding light or enlightening. And that's really the work that I'm doing. That's what I'm trying, or what I'm teaching, is for people to open up to more of that superconscious mind, which is, you're still you. I'm still Aaron, but I have this essence that's part of me that drives everything that is part of my superconsciousness. So I would say we're connected to like a higher self. Like we are the God of our own avatar. And of course, we have a God above that, and so on and so forth. But we are basically controlling this ship with, you know, sending kind of signals to that avatar or being part of it. But the thing is our human has kind of a free will. So the human can get in the way sometimes. The human is a good thing. It's good to be human. It's good to stay grounded here and not get yourself, you know, in a nut house or mental institution, And sometimes that happens. I mean, with some people, once you kind of break through that level of understanding, or you've actually seen things, which I do in like remote viewing, a lot of visualization meditations, transcendental meditations, people will open up to that and then they don't want to leave. Or they find that pure happiness that's already within them, and they don't want to leave that state of mind. They don't want to leave that, which we have to. We're kind of anchored here on Earth. And I don't have all the answers. I just, over time and what I've learned, I've always been kind of had a natural ability to teach. And basically what I am is all the experiences to this point. I'm using everything that I've learned and everything that I'm good at. The music, you know, doing the psychic work, the shamanic work. It's all incorporated.
Yeah. And for people that don't really know the difference, because I know there is, what would you say is a psychic versus a shaman?
I think a shaman has psychic abilities. So calling myself a psychic is basically a title letting you know this is what I do. Right. So, and the shaman is as well. This is, but those connect. Like some shaman, they're more into, we're all intuitive. If you decide to take that path of a shaman, you'll get better at it if you stick with it, just like anything else. And because I'm doing this every day, you know, like you were asking before, do you just see ghosts flying around your house? And yeah. I do see things. Norma's like, well, I don't see it. Sometimes she does see it, but I'm just more in tune with that. Just like a carpenter would be more in tune with his tools and building and the plans for what he's building. It's not really something that's any more special than anything else. It's really just, that's where I've decided to go with it, because I played music and performed, and I just want to keep, you know, and that, I think that's what part of being a shaman is continuing to learn or seek truth or seek knowledge or wisdom. And I tend to kind of go toward more of the spiritual side.
You seem like a very, in a lot of the people I talk to, they seem like very kind souls. I mean, is there such thing as an asshole shaman?
Yeah, I can be an asshole shaman sometimes.
What does that mean exactly?
I mean, okay, there were some books that I read like 20 years ago, and they were, you know who Carlos Castaneda is?
Oh, yes, of course. I was going to ask about him, but yeah, talk to me about that.
He talks about, you know, the shaman there, the Brujo, talks about, yeah, there are, he calls them men of knowledge or women of knowledge or sorcerers. Yeah, there's bad sorcerers and there's good ones. There's some that are right in the middle. You know, we are humans, so we all make mistakes. We all have had our, you know, have our moments. But yeah, there are, just like people, you know, there are asshole shamans, there are kind shamans, there are doormat shamans sometimes. So, you know, whatever the personality is, or what, you know, however that person acts. I mean, will say you have to shed a lot of fear to get to this, to get to certain points. It's kind of like, I didn't want to use a movie quote, and I kept telling myself, but especially the Star Wars one. You know, when Luke Skywalker goes into the cave, he's finally kind of ascended or evolved to a certain level. He has to go to that cave and look at himself, reflect. And that's one thing you have to get through. Some people call it a dark night of the soul, or, you know, come to Jesus moment if you're Christian. But really looking at yourself and being accountable for everything in your life, no matter what's happened to you, knowing that there was a plan. Like, you planned this out. You kind of scripted your life before you got here. I mean, of course you have free will, but you're going to be kind of divinely guided in certain ways, in certain places. And you're going to have the similar likes to go after certain goals, because that's you. You know, that's already you. Now, there are some people that won't and don't go after, you know, their purpose or follow that, what they feel is their purpose. And that's a depressing life. But really, being authentic with yourself and being accountable are two, you know, major things that have to happen before you do any kind of real shamanic work.
Yeah, I mean, what's interesting is, I'm almost thinking, oh my gosh, how great would it have been to have you as a high school guidance counselor?
Ah!
I would have
Oh
loved
God, I'm
that.
sure they wouldn't like me doing that. But I mean, yeah, we don't want anybody being psychic.
I mean, I remember at the I think we had an after prom party my senior year, and that's when they sprung a psychic on us. But by that point,
Ah,
everybody was
nice.
going to school already. Like, if you had told me, hey dude, don't, you know,
Right.
well, actually, okay, tell me this, because this is an, when it comes to life path work, I mean, I have definitely heard it's interesting in this world of the proliferation of healers. I mean, I've seen a lot of people recently that say, I don't know if it's just people trying to outdo each other, but I know I've even seen as of recently someone said, yeah, work with me for 6 weeks. We'll do some alchemy, we'll do some shadow alchemy, we'll do all this. And by the end, I'm gonna have your life purpose. Like, I'm gonna tell you exactly what you should be doing with your life. And to me, I'm going, wait a minute. But I also know
Something
that I've
radical.
heard from psychic shamans and others that it's not necessarily about mapping it out that way, because that doesn't leave room for possibility. It's more identifying your gifts, pointing you in possible directions. You still have free will. And your opinion, where do you land on helping people with their career choices or life paths?
I try not. I mean, they give me options usually, or tell me what they're thinking about, and I really urge them. And sometimes they want this like magical message that, sometimes it's a really simple message. Most of the time it is. It's usually like you've got to have heart behind it. If your heart is into it, if you want it, you'll go after it. And if you don't, that's a soulless kind of job or career, right? No matter what it is, if you're not happy doing it, that's not a happy life to me. I mean, I'm not saying you have to be happy every day you go to work. Of course, none of us are. But
Yeah.
what is it you'll get up and do every day that you will get up and do willingly and, find that there is purpose there? So the struggle that you go through with some days are worth it.
Yeah. Is there anything that you believe as a shaman or in your work over the years that maybe you are able to do it differently than someone that's goes to a career coach? Because I know a career coach could say the same thing, right? They could go, well, I'm going to help you find the thing that gets you out of bed in the morning. But I mean, if this life path worth thing, I mean, this is like a shaman, this is the shamanistic thing. It's not just you're adding this to your skill set, your special skills. Oh, I also can tell you what you're doing with your life. But no, this is the work, right?
It's basically telling them, and really a lot, sometimes if it's career path, it's like there's like two different scenarios, two different timelines. There's many more, but there's usually like two. You can take this place, take this way. This one's going to take a lot longer, but it's worth it. This one, you can get there fast, but you're going to probably get kicked back a couple of steps. It just depends on who I'm talking to and who I'm vibing with. But, I think it's more about kind of nudging. It's not really about forcing. It's like, hey, I'm pretty good at noticing talent just intuitively and what people are talented with, for the most part, if they're open. And it is kind of guiding them in that direction. They have to go through the experience. They have to walk through that door, but I can show them where the door is.
Oh,
And
that's
it's usually
interesting.
like the door to their life. Like, that's how I see it. Like, hey, this is the door you want to go through to get what you're asking that you want. You may get through that door and go, oh God, maybe not. I don't want it.
Yeah.
But you have to go there first to see if you want it. And that's another thing. Some people think they want to be something all their life. And then that changes over time sometimes. And then they're freaked out about that. And so you have to kind of reinvent yourself or restart, and be willing to take that risk, which I've seen a lot, especially with like the state of things right now in the world, people losing their jobs or getting laid off or just unhappy in their job, unhappy in their life, not feeling like they have a purpose, which is who I deal with a lot, kind of lost. they're not really lost. They're just, a lot of the times they have intuitively what they want to do. And sometimes you don't. Sometimes you need that downtime to think. But a lot of people, they already know. They're just afraid to take that leap of faith. You know, faith in themselves that they can't accomplish what they want to. So, I don't know. There's a lot of different aspects of the work, because there's herbal, there's, you know, the medicine, there's the trance, you know, transcendental meditation. There's the psychic readings, the medium readings, talking to people that are passed on. A lot of those people just want to connect or feel more of a connection to somebody that's passed on. I kind of just delve into whatever that person needs at that time, or whatever would help benefit that person. And I have to just kind of let spirit take over, you know, and channel and just go. And this is me. I'm still, you know, awake. I'm still aware. But it is a place where you have to kind of have faith to just let it go and let that flow happen, you know, and let it just go. And when I'm not editing myself, right, that's when I do my best work. When I'm not, oh, I don't know about that message. I'm not going to say that. When I'm not doing that, I usually tend to flow a lot better.
I was going to say, sure, when you talked about a soulless existence, I'm going, is this guy psychic? Because he's talking about my day-to-day over here. He's speaking to my soul. I mean, I imagine, though, that probably happens to you all the time. You're just coincidentally, quote-unquote, talking about something that just happens to resonate with the person you're talking
syncing
with.
Syncing up. We're syncing up. Synchronicities, brother.
Yeah, that must be part of the life. No, okay, so let me ask you this, then. Do you... Because there are, and I wonder about this, especially in the context of, from what I know with hypnotherapy, I mean, it's what I learned in acting school, Aaron. The whole thing is that you prepare, you learn the techniques, you practice. Same with hypnotherapy, you learn the different cases and different options you can do. And then at a certain point, you're supposed to drop it, be in the moment. It's the art. Yeah. You respond to it. Can you think of an example of a time where something came to you that may have been out of the, you know, medical book of shamanism, and then you did this thing, and all of a sudden you didn't know where it was going to go, but all of a sudden, because you followed off the path in the moment, there was a breakthrough?
Yeah, that's usually the breakthrough. <It's> like,
yeah,
you know, I've had those moments of, I don't want to say it's just being connected to the all. I guess that's the best way to describe it. Where I can ask a question and it immediately comes. Like for me, usually that happens for people that I'm reading, but not usually for me. But like epiphanies coming in, like one after another, like just really at a quickened speed, you know, very high rate of speed. Like I think I had one that was like, I kept getting them for like a couple of days, but that feeling of just getting that awakening lasted for like 3 weeks. Like I just kept, every time I closed my eyes, I'd see visions of things. And I think it was like higher realm stuff, or a lot of it looked like Mount Olympus to me.
Oh.
Kind of like the Roman style of everything. Yeah, like there's something, I don't know what it is, but the gods, whether they're the Greek or the Roman or the Norse, there's something there. I feel like these are higher ascended beings. Like I do feel like those gods, which we call them gods, are real, and reincarnate over and over again. And that's who we're connected to. We're part of that. I know it sounds crazy, but that's what I've seen. To my knowledge, to what I've seen so far, we have a connection to those gods, and they kind of the ones that control everything. I mean, but we are part of one of them, right? We're part of one of, our essence, we're a spark of one of them. Excuse me. Told you I've been coughing all day.
No, it's okay. If you need to take a drink, go ahead. But this is very, okay. Keep finishing that thought, because it's very interesting.
It's so you've heard of the Akashic Records, right?
Oh, yeah. And that's for those that don't know, how would you explain it? How would you explain the Akashic Records?
A record of everything that's ever, anybody's ever experienced. There's a record of all of it. So anything that's happened in this universe, or probably greater than that, there is a record of it. It's a big library of, it's like an encyclopedia of all. So everybody, everything, especially, and you can go in there for yourself. You know, you can visit that Akashic Records, and you can visit and gain a lot of insight. I tend to take people when we do the past life readings, that's where I take them. That's where we go, is to the Akashic Records. And you go through a door, there's one lifetime, or there's one life. Go through another one, there's another life. So it's just a place where everything is stored, where everything is documented. It's not like somebody sitting there keeping tabs on you. They're like, oh, well, there's a check mark there for that one. No, X there. You know, that's, it's not.
I was
like going
to ask if Hunter Biden's laptop was in the Akashic Records.
Probably. I don't know.
Yeah, or what is in there? Because I have no idea.
Trying to make it disappear. Hunter Biden's laptop real? I don't know.
But I do. I do believe what you're saying about, you know, or at least everything I've heard about the Akashic Records. It doesn't have that classic, the Judeo-Christian, you know, this God is keeping track of Santa Claus. It's not like that. It's very impartial.
Yeah, it is. It's learning. Like when you do finally pass on from this mortal coil. And you do raise up to that level when you're there most of the time instead of Earth. I'm sure a lot of people are surprised when they do come from a heavy religious background of what it really is and how people are, you know, and how, I mean, it isn't spirit, but I feel like I still see them as physical form. They're just more in spirit, or more etheric, I should say. But people, I'm sure, freak out when they die and they're like, holy shit. Like, I didn't have to do this. I didn't have to go to church. I didn't have to do any of this to actually be in what we call heaven, or even, you know, higher.
Whoa. What is higher than heaven? That's an exclusive
heaven is like, I feel like heaven, as I look at it, is more. How do I explain this? Heaven is more like a middle place. So it's like you get there, you can decide to come back down or you go higher. I don't know. That's how I see it. There's something, like I said, Mount Olympus. I mean, that's the best way I could say it because I don't know the name of it. But there is a place of like higher, you will go somewhere else. It's like a higher, higher vibe, a higher, that's, I don't know how to explain this. It's like when I see people die, I've actually had visions of this. People die and then they go to whatever, you know, their religion is, or they think, you know, what they've followed. It's kind of like, you know, being at like guiding 2-year-olds into, you know, into a certain realm or certain other dimension or whatever you want to call it. So it's more of like a, it's like a daycare for souls that have just recently passed.
Interesting.
And then you go higher and it is more like you start to see how the worlds are created, how planets are created, and these entities are creating everything. I mean, we are connected to them. We are part of them. But as I've seen it, it's like I almost saw a couple of them in lab coats. Looked like they were dealing with like, yeah, this is, it gets weirder. So like dealing with like this, I guess a box, but it's actually a universe and they can somehow get smaller. But these are like, if I were to say, if they were here on Earth, they'd be about 50 feet tall, these beings. Wow. But very highly intelligent. Like, I mean, we have that intelligence, but our human gets in the way a lot, fear gets in the way a lot. But there's really no fear there. I mean, there's concern but it's really not fear, because fear really stops it shuts down a lot of things. If you haven't seen that in the last 3 years, breaks people's minds.
Right. Right. Well, look, one of the things I really like about this worldview, and, you know, I think I'm partially going to, I actually am going to give you a lot of credit for the showing up as you are to communicate it, because I think some people bring a different energy when they talk about these kind of things. But what I find interesting is that this feels like it is more, it feels like it's more connected to us and really is a natural immersion of consciousness. And it supersedes, there's another kind of angle going on in the spiritual community, which is this, and there are all these species of aliens, and they've all been fighting each other, and they were the ones that created the universe, and blah, blah, blah. And it's like, okay, while I do want to, and I'm open to entertaining this idea, every single time people take DMT, I've never done it, but when people have ayahuasca trips or DMT and they experience this, they always talk about the white, tall, ascended masters. They always talk about the same thing, which makes me go, yeah, let's look at where the consistency is here. I mean, I don't know what your worldview is, Aaron, and if you necessarily, you know, talk to the Pleiadians and all the different species.
I have, but I don't make it a, yeah, I don't make it like a, it's not a big deal. But yeah, I have, like, what I would think of was a Pleiadian.
Yeah. But it doesn't ultimately seem as important as this other thing.
Yeah, it's all connected. I mean, you know, some people believe Jesus is going to save us all, and I'm like, well, yeah, but that's just on this planet. What about the other planet that people or beings live on? What do they believe again? Right? It's very vast. There are a lot of different aspects to it, and a lot of different angles. And like I said, I can only tell you what I've seen and experienced. But a lot of that does come through in symbolism too. So it can be shown to you in a very dramatic way to help you understand at the level you understand right now. Right. Or help you understand a little bit better. So I see it more as that, like there's much more to learn. Like I may see it as that now, but I may get a different perception of it as I learn more.
Oh, that's very interesting. And a little abstract. I want to figure out what do you mean by symbolism?
Like in dreams, like having, you know, when I get messages, sometimes I'll get a heart or I'll get a piece of jewelry or something, an item of some kind, or, you know, it's a symbol, basically a symbol or a sigil to send a message to you. You'll get it. I mean, don't try to figure it out too much. It'll come to you. You have to intuitively feel it. I'm trying to think of an example of like symbolism. Like sometimes you'll see things a lot more intensely in visions as they actually play out. That's one way of seeing it. Like it's really dramatic, right? It's dramatic to get you to understand the point. Sometimes it is like watching a movie or a play.
What does it take for you to have a vision? I mean, are your eyes closed? Is there, you know,
I don't need my eyes closed.
You don't need your eyes closed. You can just,
it's the mind's eye. So yeah, it's more in the mind.
Oh, interesting. Interesting. I know there is something, I mean, look, you can dispel this, kind of superficial egoic understanding of this for me if you'd like, but there is something, I don't know, very intriguing about the idea of a vision quest. Just the idea of going into this alternative realm in reality where, I mean, and I know, I think it's partly because I hold the phenomenon of hallucination in the hypnotic realm so high. Yeah. I mean, if you can hypnotize someone to see something that isn't there, it's not a clear, it's not always the way they describe it. It's never, you know, actually, I mean, some people, I guess it's very close to seeming like they're actually in a dream, but I have this, I don't know, this fantasy that we can all develop the ability to just drop into different realities and different dreams.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, is have you seen that? Have you experienced that?
Yeah, I teach a psychic or intuitive development class once a week. And we do a lot of remote viewing, doing that vision quest. We'll pick a target. Sometimes I'll pick a blind target and you'd be amazed at what they see. I'll pick a target and I'll write down a coordinates. Now that coordinates doesn't have anything to do with actual coordinates of like Earth or anything like that. But I'll get them to describe it. And we'll spend a half an hour just focused and describing, writing down, drawing what they're seeing. And you'd be amazed how much it is. Basically, they're seeing the same target that I've given them. So I love doing that because the people I'm teaching or my students are awesome. They're getting good. I mean, yeah. They've been good. They came with abilities already, but we're open to learn. And yeah, it's amazing. My wife said she couldn't see. She's like, I just can't see. I can't get visions. And now she's getting them all the time. I just had to show her.
Hey, really?
Yeah.
Well, that's a good testimonial, because if a wife believes in it.
I know.
I was going to say, my gosh, I mean, I've definitely gone out with many a woman that does not think hypnosis is real.
Oh, yeah.
I'm like, okay, well, maybe we need to we need to think about this. But okay, so tell me this. You fourth generation psychic. Psychic or shaman?
Well, that's where it started, but the shamanism came from just the seeking more. I want to learn more. I want to get better at this. I want to learn how to, you know, because I was getting visions and I was still doing it from more of a rudimentary level, which is what I still do, or a rudimentary way of looking at it, which is the creative mind, like sitting down and writing a song or writing a book. That a lot of that time, that's coming from somewhere else. At least I feel it is. Whenever I write songs, all of a sudden a tune would start playing in my head. And I had to like play my guitar to actually get it to sound like whatever tune was playing in my head. Then I start hearing like the bass, start hearing the drums. It's that same connection that I do to give readings, to go on shamanic journeys. And fourth generation means my great grandfather was a patriarch in the Mormon church. So he was basically a psychic. That's what they did.
Wow.
And then my grandma was an astrologer and intuitive, taught me a lot when I was younger. And then my mom was a tarot reader as well.
So, oh my gosh. So, I mean, did, they weren't all Mormon, were they? Did they descend?
No.
I was going to say.
My grandmother's dad was Mormon and he worked in the temple Mormon temple. They call them temple workers or whatever, but he was, he would like write out a patriarchal blessing, which means they kind of go through your whole life and tell you, this is the challenge, like an astrological reading. Right. And then my grandmother got out of the church cause she didn't agree with it. And then she really got into like, the spiritual side of things, or, you know, the occult kind of wisdom, and learned a lot of metaphysics, took a lot of metaphysics classes. And then she started doing astrology, started doing it for her friends, started doing it for her family. So she was connected really well. And she was more of somebody that like loved that side of things, but she didn't dabble too much in it. I mean, she did the astrology, but she bought some tarot cards one time and she got scared of them and threw them away. But
really?
she had a very strong intuition. And then my mom, she started with tarot readings and she does it as well. So that's what the fourth generation means.
Why would someone get freaked out about tarot cards? I got to know more about that.
She came from a different time.
I didn't know people would be scared of those things.
The imagery sometimes, depending.
Oh, that's true. That's a good point. That is a very good point.
And there were stories going around then back in those days that, we took these tarot cards, we threw them away, and they ended up right on our, you know, front door. Or
oh man,
we burned them and they came back. I'm like, that's all horror movie shit. But
well, wait a minute. I need to know, was this an unconventional, I mean, fourth generation, unconventional childhood?
I kind of grew up in a normal childhood. I mean, I played Little League and went to school and had friends and kind of grew up in a middle class life. So, but there were times of unconventionality. I mean, there were times when, you know, my grandma would talk to me when nobody else was around because nobody else believed it, or they didn't like talking about that stuff. But yeah, I grew up pretty normal, but I was taught a lot of lessons that were very, maybe very simple, but very deep, and that helped me out in life later. But no, not really an unconventional. I wasn't a hippie kid. I mean, I was hippie. My hair long. I was the one that decided to grow my hair long and You know, I decided to, I wanted to be a rock star when I was a kid. So I just started playing music all the time and, you know, got into my 20s and my 30s and just said, you know what, I'm going for it. Because I had kids in my 20s. So I was raising my kids and decided, you know, be dad, get the normal job. And then as they got a little older, I mean, I was always playing in bands even then. But I really took it seriously when I was 30. I'm like, hit 30. I'm like, God, what have I accomplished? I mean, I've got kids, but like, what have I really done that I wanted to do? You know, and I kind of went back to music and said, I'm just going for it. And got pretty, you know, as far as I wanted to go in that industry. And I've always kind of had a vision of me living out in the desert as a shaman, you know, helping people or them coming to me and holding retreats. And so, you know, that's actually happening. I mean, we've got 3 acres of land that we're starting with. So in the desert, out in the middle of nowhere, we're off grid. So it's all kind of, that's kind of something that's always happened in my life. I've always seen things and I'm like, yeah, but I'm not ready for that. That'll happen when it's supposed to. And that's kind of how I fell into it. I kind of lived the life of the vision.
That is okay. So let's get into this. I'm curious then what your philosophy is on following a vision. I mean, I've been thinking a lot about this in terms of my own life and setting intentions. I know that how can you have a vision without necessarily being attached to an outcome, I suppose, is my question for
you.
Yeah,
really, it's not an outcome for me. It's more of a phase. More not really an outcome. It's more of a level of life that I'm going through, but I don't really see an outcome. It's more of just the journey. It's more of walking that path for a while. If you decide you don't want to walk it anymore, you move on. You do something else. It really is that simple, but it can be complicated when you've got to pay bills and you've got to do things. You know, I've got people that do support me, that do get readings from me or go to my class. They keep it going. I can pay the bills that way. I'm by no means rich, but I am rich. I'm rich with a lot of good supporters and people that, you know, help out and support when they can. I mean, there's people that will just jump onto my live streams and every time they're there and they're helping moderate, you know, I like feel bad. I'm like, God, I can't pay you. But, you know, some of them do get some bonuses. Some of them do get some things for what they're doing. And I try to help them out as much as I can. Whether it be like trading for a reading or, you know, but yeah, I mean, I don't know. I mean, it's just, it feels like something I've always wanted. It's like, I kind of finally come to a place where I've always kind of had this dream. Never really had a dream about being a farmer, but that's kind of what that's part of it. But it's more about just seeing that and then it coming into play or that opportunity comes up and somewhat you got to kind of, you got to push that opportunity. You can't just wait for it. If there's an opportunity that comes up, you go for it, you know, and something you want to do, something you feel excited about. Now, you know, there's plenty of con men out there that will tell you, hey, I'm going to give you $6,000 if you just buy $1,000 in gift cards for me, you know,
right.
And get you like to have this. They give you that false sense of your purpose or false sense of, you know, success. But you have to really go out and get that success. But the universe does respond in kind when you're putting the action in. When you're moving in that direction, things just seem to fall into place and they kind of always have for me.
See, now this is another synchronicity. This is another talking about con men. I don't know why is it always the worst things of humanity that but here's what I'll say. I mean, there are a lot of people out there that freedom equals or career freedom, financial freedom equals becoming an internet marketer. At least it has been that way for a long time. And I'm sitting here going, did all these people really want to be copywriters? Because I've explored it too. I mean, okay, so, and I'm curious if you can maybe break up what's going on for me. I see the freedom path and I see doing something that I love, but I'm being sold from different people that vision. Here's one way, here's the way I did it. And it's always looks like starting.
Trying to give you their vision. Yeah.
an internet marketing business. And I'm going that's why when I've bought courses in the past or read books on becoming a copywriter, and it's not that I would necessarily be opposed to doing any of that, but there's always been something inside of me that's going, yeah, but wait a minute, that's not what it is. That's not what this is. So, I mean, what is, how do you advise people discern when people are selling you on this ideal of freedom?
If this sounds too good to be true, it probably is. You know, if it's not your freedom or your version of freedom, which freedom isn't easy, you know, to be free, to have that kind of life, it may seem easier, but it's not. It's harder. You know, you're doing a lot more on your own. You're not dependent upon a job, which when you have a job, you know, you've got that security. When you're doing or being an entrepreneur or your own business, running your own business, it's all on you. But that's what I like. Nobody else is making decisions for me. I'm making the decisions for myself. I fail and I succeed all on my own terms. Well, for the most part, you know, Facebook, the social network, sometimes, there's a lot of censorship going on there, but you deal with those things.
Yeah.
And you overcome.
They're kicking you off Facebook too?
Oh, yeah. I mean, not kicking me off, but I'm getting heavily shadow banned.
Yeah. What do you think it is? Is it the stuff the mainstream medicine opposes shamanism? Are you talking about political stuff? I mean.
Yeah. I mean, I got on YouTube. I was talking about the Atrahasis. Have you ever heard about that?
No, what's that?
Ancient Sumerian texts.
Oh, yes. Yes, yes, yes.
Well, we were talking about it in a class. That got stricken. Like, they took it off. Because I was showing the correlations between what they were doing back in those days and what they're doing right now. I didn't mention anybody's name, but I did talk about, because you'll have to read that book or just get the audio book and listen to it. I got marked for medical misinformation. And I was just talking about an ancient Sumerian text.
Oh, come on.
Yeah, weird.
Oh, gosh, that is super strange. That is very strange. Yeah, I've seen on your channel, on your YouTube channel, you have talked about global events and what's happening. I mean, this is also something I maybe want some clarity on. You know, you have the, I always find it interesting that, and maybe it's just because they can now be on the internet. A shaman can now be on the internet, even a shaman that maybe spent time in a community off grid for a long time. I find it interesting when shamans comment on world events, because, you know, at least from the mythology of Castaneda, you have this idea that they're off somewhere in a desert. They're not reading newspapers. It's like you're going there to have this special thing. And yet there are all these shamans out there that are, oh, look at the way that the forces of Earth are, you know, I mean, is this, why are you all so in tune with everything? Well, I guess that's because we're all one consciousness.
You deal with mental work, and I'm sure you've seen it. Maybe not. You see, like, I just noticed the big, massive brainwashing of the planet.
Yeah.
And that bothered me. Like, it bothered me. Because that the kind of work I do is actually getting people out of that fear, not putting them into it. And there were people put in a... And this has happened to us all our lives. From, you know, the powers that should not be, whatever you want to call them. I mean, I can name them, but anyway... We're seeing a lot of, like, just looking at death counts on the news that are running 24/7, you know, the symbolism of the logo, which shows the actual germ, whatever you want to call it, that looks all.
Yeah. Spiky. Talk about a dark sigil.
Seriously, a dark sigil. And I saw it right away. I'm going to die on this hill, but it was a complete 100%. Psychological operation meant to put everybody under a spell.
Wow. Now, this is a controversial view. Let's see if we get kicked off of Facebook or YouTube for this.
I'm not saying any of the words. Don't worry.
But no, I think you're on to something. I mean, I definitely, you know what it is? It's that I don't necessarily, I'm not necessarily fully of the school of the mastermind, everything was perfectly orchestrated school of thought on this, though there are things every day that...
Well, it wasn't perfectly orchestrated, but...
Right.
When the machine runs, the machine runs. It's like a train.
But so the limited options that they're giving, yeah. I don't buy into anything where options are so limited, where this is the solution. I'm going, wait a minute. Something is not, there is an agenda being pushed. That is exactly what a psychological operation is.
Yeah.
I mean,
and because we are more awake these days and more in the know of what can happen and how evil people can be, especially in top leadership level positions. That's why all this shit's happening. And that's why it's just getting weirder and weirder, because this house of cards keeps, you know, it's falling down behind them and they just keep trying to throw whatever they can at it. And there's only a few of them. I mean, I'm not going to name them, but there are people that do pay very good psychologists that do have, you know, these think tanks that have everything at their disposal. And when they start planning out these, you know, these events that happen, and then all of a sudden they happen just coincidentally, right? They exactly like they said it was going to happen. You know, that's mind control. That's what I see it as. I see it as mind control.
Yeah, right.
When all they're, like you said, they're only allowing, when only a couple of ideas are allowed, and then you start to, like, I'm starting to see and have seen this whole, like, astroturfing. You know what astroturfing is, right?
Oh,
so it's like,
yeah.
So there's one side of things, right? One movement, and then there's another movement, but it's controlled. It's like astroturf. It's a fake grassroots organization or operation or movement, and that's what we live in. A lot of that. A lot of these operations are going on right at once, and yeah, I feel like that is partly my purpose, to let people know, hey, you know, don't let yourself be controlled with panic or fear, because it's just going to make things worse. And there was no way of escaping it. If you were watching TV, I would say most people need to turn the TV off, because it is just a big brainwash box when it comes to people that are, you know, like these mainstream news or press. They're not press. They're stenographers.
Right. I mean, and it's and how does the TV business work? It is all about commercials, advertisers, consumerism. You know, I don't know about you, but if you've ever encountered anybody in your work where you've said your life path is to be a lifelong consumerist, I would question your credentials. No one, I don't think who would. And yet everybody does seem to do that. And what I find of interesting as well is how much of the shamanistic work, even beyond the psychic work, is about experience. It's about being it's entirely experiential. I'm curious about that. I mean, you know, and I suppose oftentimes there is the peyote, the ayahuasca, that kind of thing. But it doesn't just have to be that, right? I mean, I'm
you don't
sure
need
you
that. Yeah, you don't through. Need it. It's not. Yeah. I mean, sacred medicines or ancient medicines are, you know, they cure colds, or they help colds, or they help any kind of other ailment. It's not just the peyote experience. And you don't even need it to get to, you know this. By being a hypnotist, that you can put yourself in all different states of consciousness, that you do feel that high. It's more just of your own energy and your own feeling and your own perception. And you can by breathing, you can do it. There's a meditation called a mini death, where you breathe in a certain way and it gets you to that place, like where you've kind of like, you're not lacking oxygen, but you're putting your mind in a different place because of your oxygen that you're intaking. So it's like, you're getting high on oxygen. And
yes. It's the holotropic breathing stuff, right?
Yeah, there you go. There you go.
So I know it's getting very popular these days. People love it.
And you're not, you know, all these chemicals are within you. Like, all these chemicals are within your mind. Taking them from an outer source is just kind of a key that, which, you know, opens the door.
I mean, I don't know. Okay, tell me if this fantasy is, I know their family members watching this, so we'll, and or listening, so sorry to freak you out, but there is a part of me that is going, okay, what do I need to go to Peru to have some kind of mystical experience that may or may not involve a substance that is of the earth to awaken my third eye? I mean, I got to tell you, Aaron, sometimes I'm sitting here going, oh man, I struggle. I'm not good at visualizing. I can't you know, it's hard for me to actually trance out in this way. I mean, to me, it feels like it's a shortcut, but what would you say in that case for people that are just going,
yeah, I mean, if you have the opportunity to go, you should do it. I've never taken ayahuasca.
Whoa. Okay. Now that's a testimony right there.
No, I have when I was younger, I dabbled in, and still kind of do dabble in psychedelics, but, and that does help. That does help kind of open your mind. So I would say the ayahuasca would be beneficial, but I don't think it's needed.
So you believe that someone can experience the experiences of a shaman, mm-hmm. and really tap into their abilities without ever needing to touch plant medicine?
Yeah.
Now that is, hear that, public. This guy is, this is the Nancy Reagan of shamanism.
Nancy Reagan, oh God.
No, definitely not, definitely not. Bad, no, but
like I said, I do dabble in psychedelics, so. I think they do help with a lot of, with like mental ailments or emotional stuff. And they're using them for that now.
Oh, they're doing their all kinds of research about psychedelics. I would not throw them out.
Put you in this state that you do see more of the non-ordinary reality that's going on around you, or feel it, or experience it. Everything is just enhanced. What you already see, you're just seeing more of it. How do I explain that? Like, I was seeing bushes, and each individual leaf was flittering at me. When I'd walk by, it just flittered like it was alive. And it was showing me its life. You know, that's one experience. There's been many.
Yeah.
But it just opens your mind. Like, I feel like it just kind of gives you that breakthrough because you're willing. Yeah, I think it's what probably opened my third eye a lot more, because I did see things. I did experience beings and just things that were already there that I was actually perceiving differently, that were like, wow, there's so much more to that. You know, or grabbing my phone and trying to find a song, and the phone just, or all the letters on the phone just falling, like, oh shit, like that whole concept of nothing is real, it's all kind of an illusion. Yeah. And once you see past it, everything just kind of falls away. You know, it's not anything.
You really just rebelled against my Nancy Reagan point now.
Yes,
he's the Timothy Leary of shamanism, folks.
That's better. That's a pretty tall order to fill.
No, but I am so okay. Look, obviously, this is another thing that was suppressed, right? People were doing some amazing research with this at a certain point, and then a bunch of people said, this might be too powerful. This might be too okay. So look, I guess then that raises the question, you know, are these, I'm always curious about this notion that the people that are in power, the elites, don't want the humans to be too powerful. They don't want to tap them. They don't want us to know our spiritual abilities, because yes, then it would empower us too much. In your opinion, does that mean that they themselves, is it kind of like everybody's Darth Vader and they don't know we can all be Jedis because everybody's crossed over?
Yeah. Well, yeah, you have to have a certain relationship with nature, and I don't think they do. So I think a lot of theirs is sigil magic, or through fear, or through pain, which through pain you can get certain levels of consciousness with that too. And they do know that we have a lot more ability than we know. And that is suppressed. I mean, I think that there's a lot of art, like movies and music, that does help kind of open it up in you. But at the same time, I think that there's a lot that's suppressing a lot, like zombie movies, for one. I think it's mind deadening. I really do.
That's interesting. I haven't heard that take before.
Well, just because, think about how many zombie movies and TV shows have been out in the last 10, 15 years. You know, a lot of the horror stuff, which I'm not against horror. I watch it, not really, but the comedy horror I do, but.
Yeah, no, I like it too. It's entertaining.
I don't want those visuals. I don't want those visuals every day because they do corrupt your visions. But yeah, there is kind of like a Darth Vader thing, but you know, at least in that movie, people knew who they were. They knew they had power. They were willing to fight. A lot of people don't feel that way. They don't rebel against conventional wisdom, which is not, you know, a lot of it we're learning is not very wise. As far as, you know, being in wars and scaring the population and terrifying them, actually. This stuff's been going on for thousands of years, and we're finally waking up to it.
Yeah.
As a society, as a human race. So now, like I said, now we're just seeing it. It's been going on all the time, but now as we see it, it's like now they're exposed. So they're going to do everything in their power, which they have a lot of, to stop that. Which there's no stopping. It's like trying to plug a dam that's just broken, right? You're not going to do it. The water's coming too fast. The information's coming through too fast, and they're panicked. I believe a lot of those people that are, you know, these social overlords, so to speak, are, I think they're scared shitless. And that's why we're seeing a lot more of the craziness.
Yeah. I mean, look, you've been in this for 20 years, at least, you said, you know, wow. I imagine it probably was, there wasn't TikTok. I mean, you're on TikTok now, which is an interesting idea. But I know it's, you know, it's to get people intrigued enough to come see your longer form content than to actually potentially work with you, study with you, stuff like that. So I wouldn't say it's necessarily, you know, I don't think you've reduced shamanism to bite sizing. Like, you still are following the process. You can tell people can learn.
I can reach a lot more people.
Exactly. Yeah. What I mean, I'm trying to even imagine. I started this podcast during when lockdowns were happening. I'm trying to imagine what it was like 15 years ago to find or know of Aaron Fowler. Was it a referral? Was there like a business card?
I was actually still online.
Oh, that's good. At least
it was a psychic website called keen.com. I shouldn't say the name. Anyway, that's where I started. I was actually a carpenter before I did this. I knew I always had intuitive abilities, but I was just working a regular job to pay my bills, right? And I ended up losing my job. We got laid off, or there wasn't that much work to be done. So my dad ended up, I worked with him. He ended up moving to Vegas where work was, construction. And I had no job. I couldn't pay my bills. Well, my mom was working for keen.com. She's like, you want to do this? Just do tarot card readings. Just, you know, and people will call you and you can make some money. And I'm like, no, I'm good. And one day she calls me up. She's like, Aaron, I've made you an account. You're online right now, ready to take calls. So go for it. So I never really read tarot cards, but she bought me some. And, they have the little booklet that tells you about the meanings.
Totally.
But I never used the booklet. I just went for it. I'm like, well, yeah, this tells a story. And then as I kept doing them, I realized people were calling me back and going, that was exactly what just happened. You know, so after a while, I just gained more confidence. The readings got better. And then it just took time, right? Just time to develop. So I've been online for 24 years. So yeah, we didn't have TikTok, but we did have, back in those days, it was like you just went to specific websites that you wanted to go to.
Yeah.
They advertised, so you'd find it. And it was kind of like its own community. It was actually a really cool site until they sold it out to a bigger conglomerate, and then it got really
per usual ruins. Yes, they always ruin the fun. This is something I definitely need to ask you. I brought this to mind. I had a woman on the show, hypnotist named Lynn Louise Larson. And both interviews I did with her, she talked about how she is, I'm trying to even make sense of this because I wonder if you can at least corroborate her story in the shamanistic field at all. Her and her husband work with this, a true wizard. I believe he goes by DJ, something like that. This is many episodes ago.
He's a wizard and a DJ.
Yes. Or his name is DJ, like Don Juan in a way. But his name is DJ. He apparently is the one that is being referenced in Carlos Castaneda. He only works with them in dream time. You cannot contact him. He's not on Facebook, and yet he's everywhere and probably knows that I'm talking about him right now. I mean, it was one of these figures, and she was so I kept asking her questions about this, and she'd go, no, it's definitely real. This is a real person. He shows up in dreams. We're working in dream time. Yep. But there were just so many mysterious circumstances around it that I'm going, how is this a thing? I mean, have you heard of anything like this where it's just
that's when they use, like, if you ask for a teacher, like I've asked, you know who Stevie Ray Vaughan is, right? So back so he was like my favorite, and I started to really get into learning his stuff. Well, there were certain things I hadn't learned yet, but I'd ask before I went to sleep, and eventually he came around. I ended up in like this white round room, white and red, but I think the seats were white, and it was kind of like just like a bench that went all the way in a circle. I was sitting in this room, and then he just came walking in, and he showed, like, really, I did learn how to bend notes like he did from that session. I think it happened like 3 times.
You got taught in your dreams by Stevie Ray Vaughan.
Right. Just a couple little things that will help that I still had to practice for a while to get them to sound right, but yeah.
That's amazing.
I believe that, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know if you have you ever yourself, hung out with a Hopi, or do you intend to, these elders that someone in the chat.
I hung out with a Hopi. Hung out with a Navajo and a Hopi. Didn't really hang out with the Hopi, but in Arizona, yeah. It's funny, the Navajo guy was like, you know, we don't give peyote to people that want to trip. Like, we give it to our family when they're having issues, when they're sick. Like, they could be physically sick, and you give it to them or give them a little piece of it. It's supposed to help aid that, or aid the mental process. When you're in pain or somebody's having a breakdown, that's when they're given peyote. And he also told me, he's like, you know, because I'm talking to him and asking him questions, and I'm like, he's like, hey, man, you sound white, dude. It's like, you don't have to ask me all these questions like some tourist. He's asking, hey, man, do you know how to build a teepee? He's like, God damn it. He's like, yes, I know how to build a teepee. I'm like, I want to learn. He's like, man, you like ask me all these white questions. Yeah, so I kind of thought about it. I'm like, yeah, I do sound like an idiot right now. Instead of just having a regular conversation with him, I'm like, how do you make bow and arrows? And
yeah. That is very funny. Have you ever I don't know if it's just the metaphor, but have you ever turned into a bird? Maybe in your dreams you have. Have you ever seen anything from these elders?
Yeah, you do that when you vision quest, if you want, like you can actually enter or become an animal, right? When you're doing your remote viewing. Like there's been some targets that we went to that were government, so they were protected. They have psychic protection on them. Some of them do. The most highly guarded ones do have like a, I don't know if they have a Faraday cage going on or what, but they have ways of keeping you out. But if you become an animal, they don't notice you as much.
You know, things like that. Interesting.
So the mind and this life, like they go one in the same. They are one in the same. The mind is where the heavens are, is where everything is. The mind was created all of this that we're living in. So it starts in the mind first, and I think that's the most powerful. I think that's how you can time travel. That's how you can, you know, it's more through the mind. It's, and Yeah, it's crazy. Like I have changed into an animal before. Yeah. I have to take off here in about a couple of minutes, if that's all
no,
right.
No, 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 no worries. You've been so gracious with your time, Aaron. I'm very grateful. This has been so mind-blowing, so interesting. Let me ask you one more thing. Peripheral vision. Because it's a practical thing. It's related to hypnosis. I talked about it. What do you think is the value of it? What can people, even listening to this, play around with when it comes to opening your gaze and peripheral vision?
Softening your vision, I would say. Like, don't focus so hard on it that it's, you know what I mean? You have to kind of softly do it and just trust it. Trust what you're seeing. It may not make sense to you at first, but trust what you're seeing. If something's coming up, and they're flashes. Sometimes they're just flashes. Sometimes they're longer visions that kind of play out, but I'm always getting like a flash here and then a flash here, depending on where I'm being led and what they're trying to show me. And then I've got to try to figure out, okay, now how do I say that message? And then I just let it out. It usually happens. But trusting, I mean, really confidence and trusting yourself. Practice, of course, keep doing it, get better at it. And just being more conscious of it, you'll know that you're making predictions all the time in your life and you don't pay enough attention to it.
Yeah. Very cool. Well, everybody needs to check out. I put it in the show links, the link tree at Psychic Shaman 333, as well as you can find Aaron at his website, www.psychicshaman333.com. Book sessions with him. You can join his Metaphysical Mystics Weekly course. Well, you'll delve into a lot more of this. And yeah, kids, I mean, do drugs. That's not what he's saying. That's not what he's saying.
I didn't say that.
No, this has been an amazing conversation. I mean, I can see why you would be an amazing repeat guest. I see why you're always brought onto these conferences. Check out his music. Check him out. Yeah, you're great. I very much enjoyed this conversation, and I definitely hope to talk with you again.
Yeah, I'd love to, man. Have a great night.
Thank you so much, Aaron. Take care.
Thank you.
Aaron Fowler. What a guy. And you know, I got an intuitive hit after that episode about consumerism. That's right. I was, going through the Akashic Records, and I pulled out a book that said, "Thou shall not be a consumerist unless it's the Open Loops podcast." By the way, if you do enjoy consuming this show, make sure to follow it, like, subscribe, rate the show, leave a review, go to the Open Loops YouTube. I want to thank Zero Boy for the pre-theme music. I want to thank Rodney McGilvery for the music. Smart you are.